Don't make the aspirin mistake. Aspirin was discovered by mistake during World War II and suppresses your immune system and prevents blood clotting. Don't expose your body to risk when you can use a natural inflammation and pain reliever called Extra Strength Pain Relief by Apothecary Herbs. Discover the power this formula has with salicin to enter the system in 60 seconds to work hard and relieve pain for 12 hours. Whether it's arthritis, sports injury, or flu, you can relieve aches, pain, and swelling with our Extra Strength Pain Relief formula. Call Apothecary Herbs now, toll-free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at www.thepowerherbs.com.
Studies have shown that the farm soil we get our vegetables from is dead, meaning it is depleted of minerals. Sulfur is a mineral. Sulfur has been depleted from the soil, which means most people have been depleted of sulfur. Sulfur has been found to transport oxygen throughout the body. You need oxygen. You need organic sulfur. American Voice Radio Network has organic sulfur. Go to AmericanVoiceRadio.com and then to the Superstore to order your organic sulfur. It's your choice. Do you want to feel better or not? Don't forget to tune in to the Sulfur Hour Plus One on AmericanVoiceRadio.com Thursdays, 6 p.m. Pacific.
Job stress, financial obligations, or relationship problems have you feeling stressed out? When life is too much to handle, use Apothecary Herbs' emotional stress formula. Feel calm and more in control with herbs especially combined to provide the organic nutrition your system needs to help you cope. Complete instructions for maximum benefit and a money-back guarantee. You've waited long enough. Call Apothecary Herbs now. Toll-free 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at www.thepowerherbs.com.
Herb Talk Live. I'm your resident herbalist, Wendy Wilson. I hope you had a great day. Ooh, we're here to empower you here on Herb Talk Live. Thanks for joining us here on American Voice Radio. Glad you're here. We are going to be talking about three enemies. Yeah. You know, there's going to be more sickness and disease in the future, not less. I am convinced of that. And so we're going to focus on three plagues that we're going to see if we can, make our awareness a little heightened about that so we can be healthier and stronger out there. Also, if we get time, we're going to be talking about your pancreas and some other health information. We'll see how the hour rolls. But, of course, we have a quack report. But I want to remind folks that coming up this weekend, I'm going to be talking with Dr. Rebecca Carley on GCN. I moved her to the 15th. So she'll be my guest at the 7 a.m. Eastern Time show. If you can check in there and listen up, that's great. Otherwise, she'll be back here with us on American Voice on the 18th, so she'll be here live with us on Tuesday the 18th, just next week. I mean, this September is just blowing by, just like no other. Flu season's going to be on us before we know it. Before we get to the quack report, a big salute and semper fi to our military, praying for them, praying for God's hand of protection beyond them. All our righteous men and women in uniform, God's hand of protection, protect them, keep them safe and sound. Of course, we're going to hit the knees, and while we're there, we're going to seek the Lord's face with humility and ask for his help, because we need a healing in this land. The only way we're going to get it is if we ask him and if we repent. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, read that. So if you want a healing in America, turn it around, bring back the righteousness in this land. We're going to need God's help to do that. And we're going to seek this face every day and ask for that. His will be done. Mind the time. It grows short. And without further ado, let's do the quack report. Thank you, Frank. Okay, what do we got? Junk DNA in the news. They say it plays a critical role in health. You know, God doesn't make junk, so what do they mean by junk DNA? Human biology, kind of mysterious thing to scientists, and understanding how and why we all work, how we contract some deadly diseases like, you know, cancer, depression, and things like that. You know, identical twins, one might get sick, one might not, so they want to know why that is. Scientists have identified a clue, they think, that could eventually help them figure out these riddles. The human genome is filled with at least 4 million gene switches that inhibit bits of DNA, which at one time they thought that was just junk. You know, God doesn't make junk. But they just thought it was useful, unuseful stuff. But now it turns out this junk plays a critical role in controlling how your cells, your organs, and other tissues behave. That's right. The discovery has enormous implications for health care, because many complex diseases appear to be caused by tiny changes in your human, hundreds of gene switches in your human DNA. So just small changes in environmental exposure can actually alter these gene switches a little bit, resulting in maybe one twin getting a disease and the other one does not. So scientists dug a little deeper into this junk DNA and these switches. They wanted to see about the actual genes that contain instructions or even proteins, but what they found was a complex system of gene controls. At least 80% of the DNA is both active and needed. No junk there. So they control gene switches and are used in your cells, and they're used to determine whether a cell becomes a neuron or even a liver cell. Researchers published their discoveries in the Journal of Nature, in the Journal of Genome Research and Biology, in the Journal of Biological Chemistry, and the Journal of Science. So human DNA, a lot more active than they expected. A lot of other things happen in there, more than they expected. All right. Moving along in the quack report. Let's see. GMO alert regarding genetically modified wheat. Genetically engineered wheat contains an enzyme suppressor that, if consumed by humans, could cause permanent liver failure and even death. This is a warning issued by a molecule biologist, Jack Heinerman, at the University of Canterbury in Australia. All right. So Jack says, of course, he's published his findings, but his work details warnings and calls for rigorous scientific testing on animals before even a genetically modified crop of wheat is consumed by humans. These enzyme suppressors in the wheat, he says, may attack human enzyme, especially enzymes that produce glycogen, which helps your hormones regulate sugar in your metabolism, which could cause liver failure if suppressed. All right, so let's see, he found, this is a 770-page report, but he said they found dozens of matches of genes and that matched what was in the wheat. So very, very close match comparison. So Professor Judy Carman, biochemist at Fidler's University, Adelheid, she says that these gene suppressors, if they silence some sort of gene in us, as it silences it in the wheat, children who are born with the enzyme that's suppressed could die by the age of 5. And adults, they would actually get sicker and sicker until they succumb to whatever illness they get. So wheat hasn't been cleared as a commercialized product, but they're shooting for it, so that's why that report's important. All right, last but not least, in the Quack Report, let's see, scientists discover green tea boosts brain cell production. So if you think, you know, drinking green tea makes you think more clearly, well, guess what? You're right. Researchers have just published their findings in the Journal of Molecule Nutrition and Food Research. It says that natural properties in your green tea actually affect the generation of new brain cells, linked to improved your memory and even learning, spatial learning. Professors found, they zeroed in on organic chemical. They abbreviated it as EGCG, but what it spells out is epigallocatechin number 3 gallate, which is the chemical key property in green tea. Researchers have said that this property has a potent antioxidant in it, and they wanted to see if the compound also affected the brain specifically, that could help degenerative diseases and even help people with improving brain function. So they did some research on mice, and what they found is that the mice who had some green tea with this chemical component in it were able to find a hidden platform much faster, so it enhanced their learning and their memory and their object recognition and spatial memory, according to mice studies. So, you know, okay, that's great. That's just a plus, but green tea tastes great, so just go get some. And that wraps the Quack Report.
That's all, folks.
Thank you, Frank. All right, we're going to talk about three enemies. There are three major plagues that have been a major enemy of mankind over the years. History shows that these plagues can run in cycles, and they're linked to rodent populations. So certain conditions can promote a change in rodent populations, and the result is a plague disease. So throughout the centuries, the three plagues that mankind has had to worry about are bubonic plague, pneumonic plague, and septicemic plague. So these are called the rodent plagues, with mortality rates as high as 60%. Now, of the three plagues, bubonic plague is the most common. So we're going to understand about these plague threats, better be prepared for any outbreaks in the future, and so forth and so on. So let's look at the introduction of the bubonic plague. Now, the plague was introduced to America in the 1900s. Supplies were shipped from Asia. Arrived with it came rat-infested ships that brought the right conditions for the bubonic plague. So outbreaks of disease and epidemics stemmed from port cities. According to the CDC, the last U.S. recorded bubonic plague occurred in Los Angeles between 1924 and 1925. The fleas on the rats spread from the city to the country rats and other rodents as well, which affected other areas of the western U.S. Now, since then, plague has survived sprouting up here and there in rural areas, and the CDC reports that the plagues reported during the 1900s to 2010 have been about 80% bubonic. So there has been bubonic plague, it's here and there, being reported. So the most severely affected areas are the northern New Mexico, northern Arizona, southern Colorado, California, southern Oregon, and western Nevada. Now, the CDC receives between 1 to 17 bubonic plague cases reported annually. And bubonic plague does not have an age preference, and anyone can get it. So it has been reported that nearly 50% of the cases have occurred in people ages 12 to 45. Prior to the birth of antibiotics in 1942, the mortality rate, if infected with bubonic plague, was about 66%. With antibiotics, we are told the risk will drop to 16%. The CDC tells us with the availability of antibiotics, that our chances of dying of bubonic plague is lower than if we get the other two plagues, pneumonic plague and septicemic plague. Our chances of dying there, 36% with pneumonic and 28% with septicemic. So is bubonic plague more prone in the fall and winter months? Well, bubonic plague is a 12-month disease, but the months where fleas and rodents are more active are the warmer months. But it puts us at a greater risk then in the warmer months. But since 1942, bubonic plague has become less sporadic with fewer large outbreaks and more uniform outbreaks with cases occurring about every year in rural and suburban areas. So there are enough regular cases of bubonic plague for the CDC to classify it as a low-level endemic disease. You can read more about that at the CDC.gov website. Well, let's look at the global map for a minute, because looking at the global map, bubonic plague occurs in Africa, Asia, and South America. And since the 1990s, more cases occur in Africa. And over the last 20 years, the cases have been in small towns and agricultural villages. Nearly 2,000 cases are reported each year to the World Health Organization. Now, should we be worried? Well, we're going to talk about that. Should we be worried? Well, it's an interesting thing. Nearly 2,000 cases are reported each year to the WHO. Used to be called Black Death. That's what bubonic plague used to be called. So that is a question many epidemiologists have asked. Should we be worried? Such as Tara Smith, for example, has asked that question. She's an infectious disease specialist, and she says she and other experts know the history of bubonic plague and how it would very quickly wipe out entire towns. It is a very infectious disease which had the ability of destroying a third of the population. So in today's world, that would mean about 25 million people. So we should not underestimate bubonic plague as if it were some no longer relevant disease. But most Americans are under the impression that bubonic plague is not a real threat any longer. Well, tell that to a hospitalized Oregon man. June of this year, 2012, a man in Oregon contracted bubonic plague when a stray cat bit him. Well, what are some of the symptoms for the bubonic plague? Well, the bubonic plague attacks and infects the lymph nodes of the body. These glands become swollen and painful. The patient will complain of pain in the groin, armpit, and neck area. Then the fever comes on, and it can go as high as 107 degrees. Bubonic plague can come from any animal that is infected with diseased fleas. Well, what's the origin of bubonic plague? Well, many speculate how a plague called the Black Death originated. A written account that we have of bubonic plague was in October of 1347. There were a dozen Genoese trading vessels at the Sicilian port in Messina. It just arrived from a long voyage across the Black Sea. And most of the seamen on these vessels were already dead, and the remaining ones were gravely ill with fever, digestive upset. They were covered with black boils that were oozing with blood and pus, and they were in extreme pain. This is where the disease got the name Black Death. Even though Sicilian authorities ordered the 12 vessels to immediately leave the harbor, it was too late. The disease and the fleas infested on the rats had already disembarked, and for 5 years, the bubonic plague killed 25 million people in Europe, a third of the population. Another 25 million died in Africa and Asia. So it would not be until 1894 when they discovered the cause of bubonic plague. Well, what about pneumonic plague? Well, the pneumonic plague is the most infectious form of the three plagues. In advanced stages, this is when the bacteria is passed from person to person through airborne droplets from coughing. According to infectious disease experts, Without an effective antibiotic given early enough, bubonic plague is fatal about 50% of the time, and septicemic and pneumonic plagues are just flat out fatal. So this means that 1 in 7 people die if you get pneumonic plague. Let's look at some of the symptoms of pneumonic plague. Pneumonic plague is a severe flea-borne bacterial disease which affects the lungs. Patients develop a fever, chills, headache, cough, rapid breathing with the progression of rapid pneumonia. Coughing produces bloody sputum, which can sometimes look foamy, and then shock and death can follow. Any rodent can spread the disease with infected fleas. Infected patients can spread the disease through coughing and spreading the infected droplets through the air. Interestingly enough, pneumonic plague can be misdiagnosed as asthma, allergies, COPD, chronic bronchitis, lung cancer, sinusitis, cystic fibrosis, and obstructive sleep apnea. So it's real important to get a proper diagnosis. Well, what about the global stats on the pneumonic plague? Well, according to the Global Alert and Response, also known as GAR, and the Plague Manual, the pneumonic plague is one of the oldest diseases known to man. It also remains an epidemic all around the world. The plague tends to like the warmer climates, so if left untreated, death definitely occurs. The mortality of the pneumonic plague is particularly high and has to be correctly diagnosed. So antibiotics normally used to manage this plague given early enough are streptomycin and tetracycline, and that lowers the mortality rate from 60% to 15%. According to the WHO, since the 1980s, there has been a steep rise in plagues in Africa. And prior to 1980, most of the plagues were originating in Asia. Well, what about the septicemic plague? Well, the septicemic plague occurs when an insect deposits the bacterial infection directly into your bloodstream. So this bypasses many of your immune system defenses, and therefore this form of plague is almost always fatal. According to the WHO, although the plague outbreaks have declined, there are hot spots on the globe that continue to have substantial outbreaks and fatality rates remain high. They admit that the antimicrobial resistance has begun, which means your antibiotics are not as effective. So these authorities are urging extreme vigilance in these hot spot regions of the tropic and subtropic. So if traveling, be very aware of that. Okay, so what is the first pandemic plague? Well, the first written pandemic plague occurred between 542 AD and 546 AD in Asia, Africa, and Europe, and it was known as the Justinian S plague. This plague spanned the continents, killing 100 million people. And a shocking symptom of this plague was hand necrosis. In other words, your hands rot off. And this was a rodent plague. Scientists think that it was a different strain of the bubonic plague. Well, let's look at 5 countries. According to the WHO, there are 5 countries that tend to harbor more plague disease: Bolivia, Brazil, Ecuador, Peru, and the United States. From this list, there are 3 countries which report plague cases every year: Brazil, Peru, with 82% of the cases, and the United States. So health experts and the world over pretty much admit that although drug therapy for plague is available, mortality due to the plagues remains high. Well, let's talk about some immune system foods. Let's heighten some immune system. Why not? Some of the do's and don'ts of stimulating and heightening your immune system can rely on some of the foods that you eat. You want to avoid foods that would suppress and encourage the immune system, building it up with the foods that help strengthen it. So the foods that hinder or lower your natural immunity are going to be, of course, your sweets. often foods that you crave the most are going to suppress the immune system. So sugar, nicotine, alcohol, caffeine, and other chemicals, you know, you should avoid those in the diet. Food allergens can also kick up an immune system and get it off track. So avoid foods that you tend to be allergic to, like wheat, dairy, eggs, soy products, tomatoes, corn, yeast, and shellfish. Now, the common reaction to these foods would be, you know, headache, nasal congestion, fatigue, fast pulse, digestive upset, mood changes, fluid retention, and the inability to lose weight. So the immune system-friendly foods are going to be more fruits and vegetables, whole grains, ones you're not allergic to, legumes, seeds, nuts, the ones that don't cause allergic reaction, those nuts, and protein foods. So are there any herbs that you can utilize to boost immune system function? Sure there are. There are lots of herbs that can assist your natural immune system response to prevent illness or reduce the likeness of you getting an illness and also reduce recovery time. Some herbs that you can use as preventatives that help you also recover faster from an illness are going to be astragalus root in a lot of your ginseng formulas. I like to layer a lot of the astragalus and ginseng. Echinacea root is another one that will really stimulate the immune system, so it'll shorten the duration of illness. Don't overuse your echinaceas, though, like as you would a preventative product, because then when you need them when you're sick, they won't work as efficiently. Peppermint has a diaphoretic property. It calms. It has a calming effect. Also eases the discomfort of fever without lowering your immune system. Of course, your aspirin will suppress a fever, but that will lengthen the duration of your illness. The secret of managing a fever is to keep it wet, keep hydrating, keep drinking. Ginger root can calm upset digestive systems. And if you got vomiting, combine your ginger with peppermint and fennel seed, and that will squelch the vomiting in about 30 minutes. If you get dysentery or diarrhea with it, add a layer of slippery elm to that, and that will help with the other end. Some other herbs that are very good for pain and inflammation are willow bark and meadowsweet, and, of course, marshmallow root and thyme herb will calm a cough. So if you're coughing, you can't get rest, try that. Apothecary herbs pretty much stocked with a lot of these herbal formulas, and they have kits that you need also for the flu season. Look for their full line of immune-boosting formulas with echinacea and astragalus root and some other things. They do have a digestion kit, a pandemic and power herb kit with some natural immune system enhancing products. You can check out their ancient plague tonic called All-in-One. It's a great preventative as well. So you can get stocked up now and check out their special sale BOGO area where you can buy one bottle, get 35% off the second one, and that's at thepowerherbs.com. Of course, if you do not have internet access, call them toll-free and get a free product catalog at 866-229-3663. One will be sent out to you first-class mail, and you can get that in just a few days. Toll-free number is 866-229-3663. But if you're outside the U.S., dial 704-885-0277, 704-885-0277. That's where your health care options just became endless. Got to take a break. More on the other side.
Life into the original medicine. Herbalist Wendy Wilson will be right back.
Do you remember? remember a time without antibiotics, superbugs, vaccines, and drug dependency? Well, we do too. And we're here to remind you that you're more powerful than you think. God said herbs are here for the service of man. Tap into them and free yourself from drug dependency, disease management, and overwhelming medical costs. Take control and be independently healthy. Call Apothecary Herbs for professional strength formulas to stand in the gap and strengthen your system where you need help. Herbs for blood pressure, cholesterol, diabetes, osteoporosis, and more. Call toll-free 866-229-3663. Online, thepowerherbs.com. Check out their vitamin vault where you can stock up and save on case discounts. 866-229-3663, where your healthcare options just became endless.
I don't trust anyone wearing a mask. Robbers, cattle rustlers, or doctors. I listen to Herb Talk Live.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in an untested vaccine hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate in those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad-spectrum immune-boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Or take your chances with the bad boys. Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free, 866-229-3663, or online, thepowerherbs.com.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
With our current economy, there's no time to lose. Apothecary Herbs has their own version of the stimulus package. It includes sending you highly potent and certified organic herbal products at a 15% discount. Here's how it works. Mail in your order using our catalog order form, online downloadable order form, or if shopping on our website at thepowerherbs.com, print off the contents of your shopping cart, subtract 15%, add your shipping fee, and mail it in with your payment. Get well and save money. What could be better than that? Order by mail now and save 15%. Call Apothecary Herbs for a free product catalog toll-free, 866-229-3663, international 704-875-8010, or online, thepowerherbs.com.
Talk Live. I'm your herbalist, Wendy Wilson, and so glad you're with us. We're going to be talking about your pancreas, and even if you don't have a pancreas that's giving you trouble, this information may help you or someone you know down the road. You know, because if you get a pancreas illness, time is of the essence. You don't want to let that go without being treated. There are about 43,000 new pancreatic cancer cases in the United States every year, and about 37,000 of those folks die. Statistics show us that over the last 20 years, the rate of pancreatic cancer has dropped in men and women, but it's still the fourth, the fourth leading cause of death. So celebrities who have developed pancreatic cancer, like Michael Landon and Patrick Swayze, have died shortly after being diagnosed due to the cancer cells multiply and progress pretty quickly. So all medicine can do is make their patients feel more comfortable, and the American Cancer Society recommends that a healthy diet with 5 servings of fruits and vegetables a day, along with whole grains, and less processed meats and processed foods, regular exercise, is the prevention against pancreatic cancer. I can't argue with that, actually. So let's look at who's at risk. Well, the lifetime risk of developing pancreatic cancer is 1 in 71, or 1.41%. And the risk is the same for both men and women. There are several factors that can contribute to the risk of getting this disease, like your age, because nearly all the pancreatic cancer patients are over 45, and 90% are over 55, and 70% are over 65. So the statistics bear that men have a slightly greater risk of pancreatic cancer. Science thinks this may be due to the greater use of tobacco products that men use, but statistics are showing African Americans are more likely to develop this disease over whites, and science really isn't sure why. It has been suggested that it's the higher rate of tobacco use and diabetes among African American men and obesity in African American women that may be contributing to the disease. But if you do smoke, your risk of getting cancer of the pancreas is 3 times greater. So the cancer-causing chemicals in your tobacco can be a trigger. Nearly 30% of the pancreatic cancer patients are cigarette smokers or smokeless tobacco users. Now, as smoking rates decrease, the rate of this disease seems to decline as well. And science has proved that exercise lowers your risk of getting cancer, period. Therefore, sedentary lifestyles will increase your risk of developing sick pancreases. There also seems to be an unknown connection between developing diabetes and pancreatic cancer. Those with type 2 diabetes are at a greater risk, and in some cases, the pancreatic cancer will cause the diabetes. Research into diets is pointing to lifestyles that are high in fat and red meat, pork, processed meats to be a problem and could also invite cancer of the pancreas. The studies also listed coffee and alcohol may increase the risk. Alcohol will increase insulin and can lead to diabetes, cirrhosis of the liver, and chronic pancreatitis, which all offer you risk of developing cancer of the pancreas. You know, and here's the thing, though. If you are a sugarholic, I mean, that pancreas is, it's an endocrine gland. You definitely don't want to stress it with lots of refined sugar. Let's look at some other conditions. Those with chronic pancreatitis, long-term inflammation of the pancreas, that's what that is, offer an increased risk of developing cancer of the pancreas. About 40 to 75% of those with pancreatitis have an inherited mutated gene, which offers a lifetime risk of developing cancer of the pancreas. However, many patients with pancreatitis never get the disease, which is kind of weird. Our liver can influence our risk of developing this disease. Cirrhosis or scarring of the liver, that can damage that organ, usually due to alcohol abuse or hepatitis, will offer you a greater risk of developing a sick pancreas. Some exposure to chemicals, maybe an occupational hazard like pesticides and dyes, also will put your pancreas at risk of getting cancer. If you develop an infection of the stomach, like an ulcer-causing bacteria, this can also offer a risk of developing stomach acids and colon cancer and increase your risk of spreading cancer to the pancreas. Interesting. Okay, let's look at some symptoms. One of my herbal professors once said, nobody gets this sick without ignoring 1,000 symptoms. That's true. Pancreatic cancer can be difficult to diagnose because some of the symptoms tend to mimic other conditions that could point to stomach or small intestine or even liver and gallbladder problems. Spleen and bile ducts even can be what the doctor thinks it is. A majority of the cases will have jaundice, some yellowing of the skin and eyes, upper and middle abdomen pain and back pain, sudden weight loss, fatigue, and loss of appetite. Lots of scans. You'll have lots of scans and x-rays that will be performed. Maybe even a biopsy would be suggested to biopsy the pancreas. But a biopsy will tend to help spread any cancer cells into the bloodstream if you do have cancer. What's the treatment? Well, modern medicine attempts to control the spread of the cancer if it is detected early enough. Surgery will be their main treatment to contain the disease. If surgery is not an option, treatment shifts to helping the patient with pain management and limiting the complications with radiation, chemotherapy, and other drugs. If the pancreas is removed and the patient no longer has a pancreatic organ, then they have to rely on drug pancreatic enzymes to digest and absorb food. Doctors prescribe drugs to attempt to replace those enzymes. Other options. Well, obviously, the modern medical approach to dealing with pancreatic cancer is going to lead you down the same road that Landon and Swayze took. Pancreatic cancer has a prognosis of about 6 months. You go quick. Most people will waste those precious months, about 4 or 5 of them, with their doctors and become so weak that it's difficult to reverse the disease after that. Radiation, obviously, radiating the body 5 or 6 times, it makes it extremely difficult to turn things around. Therefore, if I haven't said it clearly enough, with pancreatic cancer, you have to act fast. If you're going to do the natural thing, you have to do a combination of therapies, organ cleanses, and herbs to nourish the body to strengthen it. because if you go the mainstream medical route, you got 6 months basically. Let's look at the plan. So if you want to get better, better have a plan. Medicine already counts you as pretty much dead with pancreatic cancer, so you might as well go for it. First thing to do is stop all the sweets. Your pancreas is an endocrine organ, and it makes insulin. So you must lift this burden from this pancreas. No sweets. When you do your vegetable and citrus juice flushes, you want to cut any citrus juice with 50% more water to lower the sugar content. You may not be able to even tolerate any carrot or apple juice due to the sugar content. Now, with the vegetable and fruit juices, you can do your organ cleanses. Start with the bowel, then go to the urinary, liver, gallbladder, and then the blood system is last, and you do them one at a time. And you do them one after another because you don't have time to waste. Use your single-cell plant protein foods, like your spirulina and chlorella for more energy. Your ginseng is also a good option. There are no solid foods to digest when you do this with your juices and your plant protein foods. And the pancreas won't have to make any digestive enzymes, see? So that lifts a burden off the pancreas while your body still gets nutrition. Again, you're lifting burden while you get nutrition in, and you're taking also toxins out. Cleanse and nourish. So since the pancreas is an endocrine organ, you're also going to use herbs that strengthen it. You can use some male herbs, some male hormone herbs are very good at strengthening this organ. You can check those herbs out. They're listed on the powerherbs.com website. But just to give you an idea, there's American ginseng and Siberian ginseng, sarsaparilla, saw palmetto, carmadon. These are all a lot of the male herbs to help the endocrine system. For the females, it's a different grouping. It'd be hops, flower, wild yam, demania leaf, licorice root, dung quai root, and vitex berries. So you'll find those in the male and the female organ cleanse formulas there. These herbs will balance hormones and also take the burden off the endocrine system. Okay, so if you want to check that out, do so. These herbs are going to balance your hormones. They're not hormone replacement. It's nutrition for the endocrine system to balance them. You can also apply castor oil packs topically to dry out toxins from the breastbone down on the left side of the body and to all the way to the lower hip, just a few inches down there. Use a square foot piece of flannel. You can soak that in castor oil and apply that over the chest area, just above the liver. You can also use herbal poultices topically to dry out more of the impurities to lift the burden off the affected organs. You can make your own herbal poultices using your poke root and your blood root, your red clover, garlic, and even your chaparral. These are all herbs are here for the service of man. That's what God said, if you check that out in the good book there, Psalms 104. So if you're going to use any poultices, you want to make a paste of those herbs, spread it over the body, and let it sit there for a while. You can even hire someone who can do some deep body massage work over your pancreas or any of the organs that are affected. And this stimulates blood circulation. Usually when we have a sickness, we have a blockage of adequate circulation. So blood brings healing, brings in oxygen and nutrition, especially all that nutrition you're just putting in the body, and also takes away debris and waste material. So it brings in nutrition to rebuild and fortify and heal and takes away debris and toxins. So there's lots you can do. You can also use a compress on the organ. It's called milking the pancreas, which kind of helps it purge more toxins. You can get a massage therapist to do that. Deep breathing, very important also for the pancreas in the upper diaphragm area. And also chaparral tea has an anti-cancer property, so you can make some of that. And don't worry about herbs causing harm to the liver. When you have a serious illness like this, you can compensate using short bursts of it and adding some milk thistle. That's what I tend to do. Of course, I'm not a doctor, but I'm just telling you what I would do if I was you. So you can use herbs to help the body heal itself, basically. Approaching pancreatic cancer in a natural way is work, but you're working at inviting cancer to leave and never come back. You will have significant tenderness and swelling of the abdomen, and a majority of the toxins may make you feel sick as they leave the body through the bowel system. You may even see blood or mucus or even pus in the stool. But as the toxins leave, you also feel a lift of pressure from the pancreas. So if you have pain, use a little willow bark or meadow sweet for inflammation and pain. And that way you're going to be doing yourself a world of good. Otherwise, you know, your options are chemotherapy and toxic drugs and surgery, and then you're going to die anyway. So personally, I'd rather go the natural route at regenerating an organ that's limping along. That's just me, though. If you'd like more information on organ cleansing, the male and female herbal formulas, and a whole lot more, go to the powerherbs.com website. Check it out, thepowerherbs.com, or give them a call and ask for a free product catalog at 866-229-3663. And, of course, while you're there, don't forget to sign up for the free online newsletters, HealthQuest and the American Voice newsletter. HealthQuest is about herb secrets, and you'll have free coupons to use at thepowerherbs.com website. And, of course, the American Survival newsletter has many authors writing about many topics. Melanie Cederstrom and Alfred Adess write the financial section. There are several people writing in the health section, me, of course, and Dr. Rebecca Carley, Dr. Stephanie Gross, a chiropractic, Ty Bollinger from Cancer Truth Chronicles, and, of course, for strategic location and planning, Joel Skolskin. So, and, of course, gardening. We have the organic gardening people. They are doing a quarterly installment in the newsletter, so Paul Gauchy's group is doing that. And so you'll learn lots of neat tips about organic gardens. So Sign up. They're free. They're email only delivered, so there's no hard copies. So the American Survival Newsletter or HealthQuest on thepowerherbs.com. Sign up today. We got a few minutes here, so I want to remind folks that coming up on the 18th, Dr. Rebecca Carley is going to be with us, and also talking with John Monroe from Dr. Banker's Group, the vision guy, helping us improve our vision naturally. He's going to be back. He's checking in on me. I'm using his vision kit along with the herbal eye wash that we have at Apothecary Herbs, and he tells me it's time to reduce my prescription an opter, half an opter. So I'm working on it since I can see 20/20 with the vision glasses that I have that were lowered a few months ago, and I've been doing my exercises. I've strengthened the eye muscles, so now it's time. I got to bump it down again. So he's going to be coming back in October, the first part of October. He'll be with us, I believe, the second. So coming up in October, he'll be with us and sharing some natural ways that we can all use easy stuff and understanding why our eyes aren't functioning well and how we can correct that without all the expense and surgery and drugs. I like that. All right. You know, I got a call this week about somebody who was telling me about a toxic relationship, basically. And, you know, this person, bless this person's heart, didn't know that the individual she was describing sounded like a narcissist, okay? And you've heard me talk about this before on the show. We live in a narcissistic age. We do. People just don't care. That's right. They're double-minded, you know? So we've talked about this before. The Bible talks about this, too, about narcissists. The Bible refers to them as double-minded. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Not some, all. Can't be trusted. Okay? They just can't. You can't rely on them. Actually, if you go to Proverbs chapter 6, God says they are a naughty person, wicked, walks with a froward mouth. Do you know what froward means? Means abusive. They're verbally abusive. They wink with their eye. They speak with their feet. In other words, they tell you one thing and do another. They teach with their fingers. Mm-hmm. Frowardness is in their heart. They deceive and they devise mischief continuously, not just sometimes. They're always thinking about how to make a mess of somebody's day, okay? And they like it. It's like a high. It's like a drug to them. So they're always devising mischief continually, and they like to sow discord. And you know where they like to sow discord the most? In the church, okay? They love that part. So God tells us that a wicked person, men and women, narcissistic personality disorders, they'll say one thing and do another. They'll make promises they don't intend to keep. That's called double-minded in the scriptures. A wicked person is verbally abusive, froward mouth, and they're sneaky in their wickedness. And they will often project their bad deeds onto others, make them the scapegoat, the Pontius Pilate. You know, they'll be the Pontius Pilate. They'll wash their hands of it, but they'll make you the scapegoat of all their problems. Does this sound familiar? Yeah. You know, God doesn't like narcissists. Actually, he really hates them. God hates, and he has to judge sin, so he gives us a list of the things he hates. So if you go to Proverbs chapter 6, he said, these six things I hate. And the seventh one he considers an abomination. Mm. He doesn't like a proud look. That's being arrogant. He doesn't like a lying tongue. He doesn't like hands that shed innocent blood. Can you say abortion? He doesn't like the heart that devises wicked imaginations. He doesn't like feet that are swift in running to mischief. He doesn't like a false witness that speaks lies and sows discord among the brethren. So so that one is the one God really hates, where that somebody stirs up trouble in the church. So a narcissist is really compelled to lie, and it doesn't matter if it is a small or a big lie. It really doesn't matter. To tell a narcissist that they're not important will really inflame them, okay? They are pretty arrogant, and they see people as objects, not as human beings. They see them as objects to serve them. In other words, they're the center of the universe, and you rotate around them. They believe they are pretty much superhuman in a way, and they have a distorted view of their own worth, and they have a grandiose view of themselves and their abilities. So if that sounds like somebody in your life, God help you. You know, and be careful, because narcissists can be very dangerous people. So we want you to be safe. Psychologists have written books and books and books about narcissistic personality disorder, also known as NPD. These people are pretty charming. Yeah, they can charm the snake charmer right out of his snake, pretty much. They do harbor selfishness, and they have an intense craving for admiration, almost worship. So they have a sense of entitlement. They're compelled to exploit other people. They have a lack of empathy. They have extreme envy, jealousy, possessiveness, pretty arrogant, of course, and insecure. They're unpredictable and compulsive at times, and they take no responsibility for their actions and like to blame others for their feelings and behaviors. And so if you hear a lot from this other person in your life, it's all your fault. You don't care. You don't love me. It's, you know, I and me a lot in his conversation. You get it? Or her conversation. You know, a lot of people are outside your relationship aren't going to pick up on some of this. They're not going to see it. Because narcissists are charming, and behind closed doors, they're typically other people. They turn into somebody else. So this is why they try to hide their dirty little petticoat from poking out. They do. They wear a mask, and they do a good job of it. So I tend to tell people, if you're looking to save this relationship, you want to go to counseling, you better get somebody who is very, very experienced with narcissist personality disorder, because what happens is, if you don't get a trained counselor to help you with your relationship with the narcissist, the narcissist is going to charm the pants off the counselor, and all of a sudden you're going to be sitting there in the session, and you're going to become the scapegoat for the narcissist's whole problem, whole personality disorder. It's all going to be turned around on you. So you need to be real careful, especially if you're seeking counseling. And before you do, it may be a good idea to, on the side, you know, privately, go to a psychiatrist and have a workup done on yourself, a personality workup. So if it ever came to question your sanity, because the narcissist would like to point out that you're the crazy one, then you can always point to a psychiatrist's evaluation that you are not the crazy one. If you'd like more information on narcissists, you can go to our website, thepowerofs.com. We did several shows on that. And you might want to check out How Do You Expose a Narcissist? That show is up there, so check that out. I'm about out of time. And don't forget, Dr. Carly's going to be with us on Tuesday. If you get a chance, on Saturday morning, 7 a.m. bright and early Eastern time, I'll be talking with Dr. Carly on GCN. You can join us then. Of course, until then, I will wish you well. The information presented is not intended to diagnose, treat, prevent, or cure a disease. Seek medical advice from a licensed medical physician before using any product or therapy. I'm your herbalist, Wendy Wilson, and until next time, I wish you all to be well.